Welcome. Let us pray. Lord, we just we lift this morning up to you, Father God. We thank you for every blessing. We thank you for your word, your inerrant, never-changing word, Father, that brings us life, that brings us power, that brings us strength, that brings us hope. We just ask that you bless this sermon this morning, Father God, and that it may open our hearts and our minds to receive it, Lord, that we may just be able to refuel up in your word and go out in the world and spread the gospel as Paul and Barnabas did in today's text. And we just thank you for the strength and the courage you give us to do that, Lord. May you bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, yeah, today's sermon is all about evangelizing. Amen. Each and every one of us, we're all called to do that as the Great Commission. And so my sermon title today is Powerful Preaching. And, you know, that's exactly what Paul and Barnabas were doing as everywhere they went. Amen. It was a powerful message. And, yes, they would have some critics, but that's because they were, when we're doing God's work, as we talked about last week, the devil's always going to attack. Amen. The devil's always coming after those that are doing God's work. Amen. Because he's, like I said last week, he's already got those ones that are lost. Amen. He's coming after us. So don't be discouraged when we're out there trying to witness and the devil attacks. Amen. Okay, here we go. Powerful preaching. There was a pastor that was known for his long sermons. Okay. And he noticed one service. He noticed a man get up and he left during the middle of his message. Got up and left. We see that sometimes. And then the man came back just before the conclusion of the service. And afterwards, the pastor asked the man, he said, you know, where did you go? And he said, well, I went to go get a haircut. Right? And the pastor said, but why didn't you just go get a haircut before the service? And the man told him, because I didn't need one before the service started. Amen. So that was a long sermon, right? He needed a haircut by the time the sermon was over. I had to explain it twice for Adam, so. Your mom got it right away. But that's a long sermon, amen? Now today's sermon, my sermon, by my standard, isn't going to be that long, okay? I promise. But it's going to be important, okay? It's going to be very important. Because every sermon about salvation and the path that we need to take to get there is very important. Amen? That's what we're here for. Praise God. Now, it seems that Paul and Barnabas' message on this day was going to be both powerful and important. Okay? It was going to be powerful and important, just as it was at their last stop, right, in Antioch. And Pisidian Antioch, before they got ran off, right? That everybody welcomed them. Remember, they asked them to come back to preach again, right? And then they got run off after shaking the dust off their feet. We talked about that, right? Shaking the dust. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with joy. But then where would they go? They went to, how do you say it, Jeffrey? Iconium? Iconium. Where they would continue to preach the gospel. Amen? They continued to preach the gospel regardless of persecution. They were going to keep pressing on, regardless of who was going to chase them down or run them out or even try to kill them. Amen? So may the Lord always give us the courage, right? The courage and the strength that we need to bring that message of Jesus Christ. Because we all have a mission to do that. Amen? Because it takes all of us to reach everyone, okay? So just like Paul and Barnabas, we're either going to be rejected or we're going to be received well when we're out there sharing God's word. Amen? Sometimes we're rejected, sometimes we're received well, but don't let anything deter you from speaking the truth, okay? It's about the truth, right? We don't sugarcoat anything. We speak the truth in Jesus Christ. We spread the gospel. That is the gospel. So our first verse today says that Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went there as usual into the synagogue, okay? And there they spoke so effectively, once again, that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. So a great number of everyone that was there, amen, they believed. So what's the first thing, it says that first thing they did was go into the synagogue, okay? What's the first thing that we do when we move into a new city? Right? Huh? try to find a church, right? Hopefully, I'm hoping we're trying to find a new church. We look for a place to work, right? We look for a place to live, and hopefully we're looking for a church too. But the first thing Paul and Barnabas were going to do, of course, is find a synagogue, because that was their routine. That's what they did. They'd go to a new city, they'd find a synagogue, and then they'd start to preach. And they did that so that God could start transforming the hearts of these people in those towns, okay? Because a lot of these towns, they were pagan worshipers, amen? And they needed to hear the word of Christ. And a lot of these Jews in the synagogues, of course, they had a different belief system, amen? So Paul was preaching to them as well. So this was evangelism 101, okay? Evangelism 101 that they were bringing to these people. And, you know, they needed to be strengthened by this message. And Paul knew that. The church needed to be strengthened by his message. And so, as you know, they'd go to speak in a synagogue, or they'd go to the synagogue, and they'd wait for their opportunity, right? They'd wait for their opportunity to preach. And they'd get that opportunity because they were rabbis, and they were welcomed into the synagogue, okay? So, or one was a rabbi and another one was an evangelist. They were welcomed, okay? So when asked if they would get up and step to the podium, which they called a bima, right? Right? Bima. You guys know what a bima is? This is a bima, okay? This is a bima right here. And they would preach their message, okay? So they step up to the podium, they preach their message, and apparently it was another powerful message that was well received, okay? Well received by these strangers in a foreign land. Because it says that a great number of Jews and Gentiles would believe after hearing the message. Once again, okay? A great number. And so this is the same result that I pray for every Sunday here at Amazing Grace, right? That we're going to receive the message and that we're going to believe. Amen. And we're going to have hope. All right? So thanks be to God that they were successful and that this town, for the most part, received the message. Right? They received the message. But often we find in a successful ministry, okay, that there was going to be some opposition. Okay? Anytime you find a successful ministry, there's always going to be opposition somewhere coming against them. Amen? So, and it would come to the point of mob violence for Paul and Barnabas, okay? Mob violence. They would actually try to stone them and kill them. So, you know, one religion or belief system against another, right? Imagine that, right? Unfortunately, it's still very prevalent today, right? A lot of different religions are battle against each other. Not so much here, but here too, but all around the world. Amen? There's a lot of, and we're going to talk about that too, but as we know, there's only one true God. Amen? There's only one true God, and there's only one way to the Father. Amen? And that's through Jesus Christ. So, verse 2 says, but the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. All right, here we go again, right? You see, the opposition they were facing was usually the Jews in the synagogues, right? It was usually the Jews. But in this case, the Jews were going to poison the Gentiles and try to turn them against Paul and Barnabas. Okay, so they were recruiting people to go after Paul and Barnabas. That's how much they hated their message. So this is a classic case of unbelievers trying to draw others away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And I know a lot of us have experienced that as well. You know, this can be done in many different ways and forms, including temptation, right? Deception, indoctrination, or just flat-out lies, right? There's always going to be people that want to drag you and try to get you out of the church. So the gospel is the truth, amen? And it always has been. The gospel is the truth. But many are going to try and drive us away from that truth. Many are going to try to drive us away from that truth. And there are many in the world, I don't know how to put it, that like the darkness, right? They like being in the dark, amen? They like sinning, right? Even spouses and family members at times are going to try to drag us away from church, amen, or from our faith. But God says to seek Him first above anything and everything. Okay? Anything and everything. God first. And, you know, we were going to see here in the text that eventually after attempts on their lives, right, they're going to try to stone them to death, okay? They're going to have to flee, okay, eventually. But first, they're going to complete their mission, okay? They're going to complete their mission. It says Paul and Barnabas, at this point, Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, okay? They spent considerable time there, right? Remember it said that that they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. Amen? So they were going to stay there, but then it says that the Jews were trying to get the Gentiles to poison them against them, right? To get them to come against the brothers, against Paul and Barnabas, right? So the opposition that they were facing was the Jews, right? And the Gentiles. And so even as they faced opposition, they would stay a considerable amount of time, okay? This shows the true character and the true faith of Paul and Barnabas, okay? Regardless of what was going to come against them, they were going to preach God's word. These men had been so focused and determined in their mission for Christ to deliver this message that they weren't going to be easily scared off, right? They were not going to be easily scared off. Nothing was going to deter them from their mission, okay? They were going to stay as long as they could because they understood the need of God's gift of salvation in this region, right? Just like we understand the need of God's gift of salvation in our city, right? We understand that every day when we are out there walking around and driving around and seeing all these people on the streets, amen? All these homeless people on the streets, we see the need for God's salvation, right? All the people in the jails, we see the need and we preach the need for God's salvation. They didn't want to leave these new believers weak and vulnerable to these people that were hating on them. Amen? So they were going to stay and they were going to strengthen them in God's word as long as they possibly could. So they had to preach, and they had gone to preach, and they'd gone to plant seeds of salvation in many cities, right? They kept going from city to city to plant these seeds of salvation. But whenever they would leave those cities, the people would be left there in the midst of the opposition, right? Whoever came against them, they were still there, right? So they would be left there. The church would be left there in the midst of this opposition and that they had created, right, towards the church. So they knew how important it was to strengthen the disciples with God's word as much as they possibly could before moving on. And that's what we try to do here, right? Strengthen you with God's word so we can go out into the world for another week. Amen? Against the opposition of the world. And so they would do it as much as they could before moving on. Preaching God's word and delivering His message is an important job for everyone. Amen? For all of us. There are many who are struggling and going through so many issues in life right now, not just in the church, but out in the streets, in the jails, at work, in our schools, and even in our homes. We have family members struggling. Amen? So this God's word is so important. The word of salvation is so important. And you may be the only means in which these people can be reached. Certain people can be reached, right? So we all have a mission, right? We all have a mission if we want to reach everybody. So, you know, as Ricky alluded to last week, it's all of our jobs, right, to spread God's word, right? We're all essentially pastors for Christ, amen, out there preaching God's word to everybody we come across, amen? And you see, even though Paul and Barnabas were going to face a great opposition, they knew how important it was to strengthen them through God's word, and that's what they were going to do. So as believers, you know, we all have our trials, we all have our persecutions as well, but in the midst of that, sometimes one of the best things to do, okay, as we're struggling, is to look out for others, to look to others in their struggle. Because when we do that, you know, when we, God's word will always encourage and strengthen us as we seek to help others. Right, we grow stronger ourselves in our faith and in everything, right? Because we're trying to help others. God gives us the strength. Amen. So it's always a good thing to help others. So when we're struggling, think about that. Amen. When you're struggling, look to help others, because there's always going to be somebody we can help. Amen. And it will help you. It will help you in your soul as you're helping others. God's word is the truth, and the truth never changes. Amen. So God's word will always encourage and strengthen us when we're helping others. But it says also that they spent considerable time speaking boldly for the Lord. Right? They spent a considerable time. Even though they were under persecution and not wanted by some of the people there, they were not going to back off one bit. And they weren't going to change their message either. This is a very important part of this too, right? They weren't going to change the message so that people would receive it well, okay? They were going to preach the truth. They weren't going to change it to suit others. God's word is the truth. The truth never changes, because only the truth is going to set us free, right? If we try to water stuff down so that people will like to hear the message and, you know, try to be this health and wealth, you know, just good stuff, right? If we don't preach the truth of sin and hell in our sermons, then we're doing a disservice to people. Amen? We have to preach the good with the bad. We don't change God's word, and we don't leave things out of God's word, because the truth is what sets us free. And, you know, and when we hear that truth, when we hear that conviction, you know, it's not easy. Amen? It's not easy, but it sure feels good once we start living in that truth. Right? Once we start living in that truth and God starts to restore us, amen? That makes it all worth it. Amen? We need to hear the truth so that we can turn towards Christ for our strength. So I can attest to that. Amen? I know a lot of us can, right? Amen? Once we receive that grace and peace from God, how can we ever turn back? Right? Once we have that in our hearts, ask yourself that. How can we ever turn back? How can we keep from shouting His name, right? And telling others about the victory that we found in Christ, right? Amen? So that's all of our jobs. So, and brothers and sisters, when we're out there spreading God's love, people are not always going to want to receive it. There's going to be scoffers and there's going to be haters. You guys recognize this guy? This was a preacher in Peoria who used to preach on the corner in Peoria, and they did a drive-by and they shot him while he was preaching, and he almost died. They shot him in the head, and I don't think they ever caught the guy. I don't think they ever found out who did it. They had video and everything, but God saved him. Amen. He made it through, and he lived. He lived, and I don't think he's still preaching on the corner, but praise God that God saved him. Amen. Even though he was shot at and shot in the head, God saved him. So, you know, there's always going to be haters. There's going to be scoffers, like it says in the Bible here. But we have to press on. Amen. And I'm sure he's preaching again. Amen. I'm sure he is. And in gratitude to God, right? But, of course, God is going to confirm that what they were doing in today's text was they were doing His will. Okay? Just like he got confirmation when he lived through this, that he was doing God's will. Amen? By enabling Paul and Barnabas to perform signs and wonders, God was giving them confirmation as well. Right? And then they would, of course, perform signs and wonders, and people would start to like them even more, right? But, you know, God will also give us confirmation. Okay? When we're out there serving, God will give us confirmation as well. When you're serving God in the darkness, right? In the darkness or in the midst of an unbelieving world, God is going to strengthen you. He's going to strengthen you, and He's going to remind you that your mission is necessary. Your mission is necessary. Each one of your missions are necessary for Christ. Amen? It's necessary, and it will be anointed when we're doing it in Christ's name. And He'll even save some of us from an attempt on our lives, obviously. Amen? Verse 4 says, "And the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and other with the apostles." People are going to be divided in this world. There's always going to be division in this world. Amen? In this country, in this city, even in the church, there's always going to be division. But we have to do our part. We have to live out the truth of God's word. Amen? Do our part. There's going to be division, but do your part, because we never know who we're going to influence. Amen? You see, the people of the city were divided. Okay, they were divided, yet they would all hear the same message. The message wouldn't change. The message was going to be the truth, because the message of the cross never changes. Some people will want to hear it, and some people won't, right? But what do we do? What are we doing out there? We're just planting seeds, amen? We're planting seeds all day long. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God will make it grow. God is going to make it grow. We don't worry about the growing. We just plant the seeds. Amen. We spread God's word. God is going to make it grow. Lastly, in verse 4, we notice that Luke says, others with the apostles. This is the first time in Scripture that anyone other than the first original 12 apostles was called an apostle. Amen. But only those who had seen Jesus resurrected, been appointed by Jesus or God, and was a disciple of Jesus were truly his apostles, right? Which, of course, would include Paul, right? Because Paul was called, obviously, by God to be an apostle, right? So he was an apostle as well. But I wanted to read to you guys, some may ask, why was Barnabas called an apostle, right? Why was Barnabas called an apostle? It says in Acts 13, Verse 2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord, talking about Paul and Barnabas, okay, or Saul and Barnabas, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Amen? And that's why Barnabas was also referred to as an apostle, because he was called by God. Amen? He was called by the Holy Spirit. And so the people were divided. Some were for the Jews and some were for the apostles, but they were so hated that they were going to plot to kill them. They wanted to stone them to death, Paul and Barnabas. Amen? In verse 5, it says, there was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country. They fled. They had to finally leave, right? So why were they so persecuted? Why should we expect to be persecuted when others don't want to hear the gospel? Amen? Why do we have to expect that? It's because if they don't want to hear the gospel, they don't want to hear the gospel message because it threatens, amen? It threatens an opposing way of life, right? It threatens a sinful way of life. And then people will try their best to remove that person speaking the truth from their presence, amen? And they'll do whatever they can, including a drive-by shooting, right? If we're trying to preach God's word, even by force, right? And sometimes by death. Right? There are martyrs every day, okay? People killed for Christ every day in countries all over the world. They die just because they're professing Christ's name. Amen? They get killed all over the world. Statistics say that Christians continue to be the most persecuted of believers in the world. And just, can anybody want to guess how many Christians you think, Christian followers of Christ, were killed last year for their faith in the world?
72 million?
Not that many, Jeff. 90,000 people were killed last year, martyred last year, in the world, professing Christ's name, for being believers. 90,000 people. Imagine that. Amen? 90,000. And it's just sick. It's horrible. It's, you know, thanks be to God that you live in this country. Amen? Because this is the safest country that you can live in as a Christian. It really is a large country. And so that's what happens here to Paul and Barnabas. They get so mad at this message that they're giving that they want to stone them. They want to kill them, right? They want to add them to that number. Amen? They want to punish them for blasphemy is what they call it, right? They're calling it blasphemy. They were calling the truth blasphemy. And the world hasn't changed much today. Amen? The world loves to call the truth blasphemy. Friedrich Nietzsche said, "Some people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed." Right? They don't want their illusions destroyed. They don't want their own truth to be discounted. Amen? Anything other than the truth of Jesus Christ, in the end, is just an illusion. Okay? It's just an illusion in this world. There's only one way to the Father. We're all going to be judged. Amen? And so we see that they plotted to stone Paul and Barnabas, and when they found out, they fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding country. And verse 7 says, where they continued to preach the gospel. Right? Where they continued to preach the gospel. They were going to move on and keep preaching God's word. It sounds like a familiar scenario, right? They came to a town to preach the gospel. It was well received. Then certain people would get tired of hearing it, and they'd be run out. This was going to happen over and over again. They didn't lose their faith. They didn't lose their drive. Amen? They must have been exhausted mentally and physically, knowing that this was their ministry, yet they continued to press on because they were called to it. It was a dangerous labor of love for them. But they kept pressing on. Amen? And guess what? Sometimes we're called to do the same tiresome commission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and spreading it to people that are going to reject us. People are always going to reject us. People are always going to reject God's word. But a lot of us avoid this task or certain situations, we just don't do it because we don't want to be rejected. Amen? But once again, the Great Commission is for all of us, right? For all of us to spread God's word. So if Paul and Barnabas knew that they were going to be rejected, why didn't they just take up another cause or maybe even change the message, right? So it would be well received, just like a lot of churches do today. Amen? They want to be, we welcome everybody, but they want to be all-inclusive, so they change the message. Amen? They change the message so they don't offend anybody or so that they don't run anybody off. They're worried about how many people are going to be in church on Sunday. Worried about how much money they're going to get, right? They change the message. You should never change God's word. Amen? And because that's defeating the purpose of sharing the gospel in the first place. If we change God's word, we're just making God's word weak. Amen? God's word is perfect and never changing, inerrant. Amen? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Right? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we stop sharing that true message of the gospel, then man may not get to hear the true message. We don't want to spread a false message or a weak message. They need to receive salvation, the salvation that God has made available to all of us through Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us. And if we change the message to tickle their ears, they're never going to hear that God-centered message that changes lives and saves souls. Right? The message has to stay true. Has to stay true. Instead, you know, they're going to hear a man-centered message, right? People don't need to hear that. They're going to hear a man-centered message that is centered on health and wealth and prosperity. But that jeopardizes souls. It might make people feel good, and it might fill up the church, but that jeopardizes souls because they're leaving out a lot of the truth. We got to hear the truth. The truth that sets us free. And the fact is that Paul and Barnabas, they could not and would not stop sharing the complete and true message of the gospel. Because if they did, they would have been disobedient to God. Right? That's being disobedient to God and their mission for Christ. So they pressed on, and despite the mental and physical exhaustion that they were going to face along the way, they were not deterred. Amen? But how would they press on in strength despite these hardships? How would they press on? Before I answer that question, I have to say that same persecution is still present today. The persecution is out there. It's present today, even in America. But how are we as Christians supposed to press on as well? How do we press on? Amen? The answer for them back then and for us today is that we can deliver the message despite any persecution because God is with us. God gives us the strength. It's not in our strength, amen? We say this all the time in recovery. We don't do this in our strength. We do it in God's strength. God's Christ-centered strength, amen? He not only protects us and strengthens us, but He enables us to do mighty things in His name. No matter where we come from or what we've been through or where God's delivered us from, He can use each and every one of us to do mighty things in His name. Amen? Mighty things. Praise God. And so just like He did for the apostles, in verse 3 it says He enabled them to do great signs and wonders. Great signs and wonders. Amen? Spiritual gifts, right? That's what God gives each and every one of us. We talked about this in the basics class yesterday, you know. And it's a, you know, what spiritual gifts, what are your spiritual gifts? Hypothetical, okay? We don't have time for, but, but you know, He gives all of us a spiritual gift, amen? Maybe more than one. We had a question asked about that yesterday, right? Can we have more than one spiritual? Of course we can, amen? We can have more than one spiritual gift. And, you know, God will give us the words, and He'll give us the courage to speak as well. And that may be your spiritual gift, preaching. Who knows? Amen? But God will let you know. God knows. And so it wasn't always easy for me to get up here and preach. Amen? But God makes a way. God makes a way. I started speaking in front of people in the recovery ministry. But it takes a long time to be able to get up in front of people after some of the things that we've been delivered from, amen. Just to be in the general public and to be a part of a church can be difficult. But to get up and preach and talk in front of people for any of us, right? Like Jeffrey did up here, he did a great job, amen. Yeah. Praise God, Jeffrey, good job, man. But, you know, that's not easy. But God gives us the strength. God gives us the power to do that. Amen? So, and that's only possible because of the cross of Jesus Christ. When we take on our own mission for Christ, no matter how great or difficult, God's going to give us the courage. Amen? And He's going to give us the strength. And He's going to give us the wisdom. He's going to give us the words to say when we're trying to accomplish His will. And so, for each of us, you know, keep fighting that good fight. Amen? Keep fighting the good fight. Keep planting the seeds. We all got to plant the seeds. Keep spreading the gospel message, because that great commission that the apostles started, it doesn't end until the day of Christ Jesus. And it's for all of us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this message, and we thank You, Lord, for every opportunity You give us to spread Your word, Your gospel, Your truth, wherever we may be, wherever we may go, Lord. Thank You for the amazing family of God we have here at Amazing Grace, and for all those that have given their lives to Christ and given their lives to You. And Lord, just continue to use us in a mighty way, Father God. Give us strength. Protect us, Lord, while we're out there spreading God's word, Your word. And we just thank You, Lord. We thank You for this Holy Spirit that's in within us and that drives each of us, Lord. May You protect all those who couldn't be here today as well. And we lift up all those that are struggling with sickness right now as well. And we thank You for Your saving grace and Your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.